This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
When you tune into the show in the middle of an interview.
Number 9 is don't believe everything you read on the internet, which is where I got this from.
You're listening to Kelly and Company on AMI Audio.
Welcome back to the program. Ramya Muthit, Kelly McDonald, hosts of the show. Thank you, wherever you are, for being with us around the world, listening in. Thanks a lot for your time, folks. So, Ram, would you say thumbs up that segment with Samuel? Probably needs a little more discussion tomorrow on Cut for Time.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Told Mr. Ryman to pull some stuff, and we'll see. We'll have a little bit of a conversation as we do our Cut for Time at the end of tomorrow's program, a new segment that we've been doing. Because we're left feeling that way, we feel bad enough cutting the guests off, let alone not getting a chance to throw some of the things in that we may have wanted to say and are saying, no, we can't. We got to get to the other business at hand. So we'll do that on Cut for Time tomorrow. But he had so much to say. So cool.
So cool. And we know it's a summer project. And I know it's almost done. Well, according to Samuel, it was March 1st was the last day to kind of contribute to what he's part of, right? But I feel like there's just so much more to learn about it. I feel giddy. Like, it's very exciting.
I was giddy over all the things he's been involved with, as I'm sitting there saying you guys could make more segments out of, but there's just so many interesting things.
Tons.
From his work to the Netflix series, things like that, that we can go, oh, I gotta go check that out. So really wonderful. Really appreciate his time joining us on Kelly and Company today. It's time to check in with one of our community reporters, Kim Kilpatrick. She joins us with news from Ottawa. But I gotta say that the big news for us as far as Kimmy's concern is CBC Ottawa's Trailblazer Award 2020. Kim, one of the names that comes up that Karen McGee was sharing with us, and I also noticed on the gala, the CCB did, was you. Yours truly. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, thank you, guys. I knew about it since 2020, but it was a weird time. Apparently, they get hundreds of applications, and a friend of mine nominated me for it, and I was given that, but they said not to say anything because they were still hoping to have an in-person gathering in 2020, and of course, then COVID came, and there was none of that. So a couple months ago, they said, okay, we're going to do the 2020 and 2021 together, but it's going to be, you know, over a video call, kind of. And I'm really honored that I was nominated and got in the top 10 of, because it's 10 people a year, I guess. And it was sad, though, a bit, because the video call, you all had to stay mute unless they asked you a question. And, of course, I couldn't see everybody else that was there. And so you couldn't network with anybody. You know, you couldn't do it. And they sent us a box of gifts, but they said, don't open it until we're all together. And then when I realized when I opened it, I had no idea what was in the box. You know, these things where you, it's like, oh, there's paper here. I don't know what it is. Oh, there's some sort of a plaque thing, but I don't know what it says. There's the only thing I knew were cookies, but they were wrapped up. So I wasn't even sure they were cookies. So it was a kind of, I don't know, like, I don't want to say I'm not grateful. I am, but it was a bit of a letdown. You know, these experiences where you win something and then the stuff is not accessible, like the ceremony is not, or the stuff they give you is not appropriate for you. Like, I don't mean to be ungrateful, but it's one of those things where they admire you for work on accessibility, but then they're not accessible. You know, I'm sorry.
But. Yeah, especially when you get down to where you're not sure if the cookies are, to, you know, like for putting drinks on or coasters or some kind or what.
Yeah, because they were in this cellophane bag and they felt kind of hard and I kind of squeezed. And then it was like, oh, I think this is food in here. But I hadn't opened it. Like, you couldn't smell them because they were in this. And they had like CBC logo on them and icing, I think. But I was like, they were kind of like crushed a little bit after. And the lady who nominated me said, well, no one held up what they won. So she didn't even know, like, she was there. But she texted me right after and said, what did you win? I said, I have no idea. Whatever, all this.
Yeah, I tried to put this cookie back together, but I spelled CBC wrong.
CBC. Well, luckily it's the same both ways. I don't know.
Exactly.
It was. So I did email them about that, which I felt a little bit, you know, I mean, you feel honored when someone does something, but the thing is, don't we think the whole process has to be accessible and thought through? You know, they could have sent me a note with, here's what you're going to find in your box and this is what it is, you know, kind of even just that, like even just an email that says, here are the items in your box and what they're going to be, I guess, you know what I mean? But then you feel kind of as if you're being like
critical.
Ungrateful, but
yeah. But you make the point, especially the accessibility, and especially since, you know, I'm looking here at the release they give, and so much of it is about things that you've done to help people, to help accessibility along, whether it's education, computers, and you know, get together with technology, whether it's mentoring other people for storytelling and stuff like that, and including talking about, you know, your experience to go wanting to get another dog and everything like that is exemplary discussion about accessibility. And you know, so you kind of feel, but you'd like to think they would expect you to say something because that's why you're getting the award.
Well, I did say something and they did say, oh, yes, of course we should have, you know, like they didn't do it on purpose.
No,
you know,
I, I'd just be concerned that they would offer you new cookies.
It would have been, yeah, they should have sent me more cookies. They were good, those cookies. But, other thing that would have been nice is to get together with everybody, because there were amazing people who were nominated, and you'd hear a little bit about them, but you just wanted to know more and be in the room together and just network, you know, with those people and talk about what they were doing and how they felt and what they were experiencing. So that was the thing that made me sad, kind of, too. You know, that whole, you missed that part, definitely.
Yeah. Late for your own recognition. A little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little bit. But
well, congratulations.
Nice.
Yeah, congratulations, yeah. Kim, because your work is tremendous. Like, you do so much. Kelly was just mentioning a couple things, but you do a lot, and it's great to have that recognition because people need to know how hard you work and how involved you are, especially with accessibility. And true to your word, you sent them an email, so which is great. Let's keep going with your community report. The Undercurrents Theater Festival. Tell us about this. It's going online.
So this is Ottawa's version of the Next Stage in Toronto, which is the winter version of the Fringe. I performed there a couple of years ago, did our show a few years ago there at the Undercurrents Festival. And it is totally online this year from March 10 to March 20. And the tickets are pay what you can. And I put the address on the blog, but it's undercurrentstheaterfestival.ca. I noticed there were a few ASL performances. There were no audio described that I came upon. But they have hired me to kind of be a secret shopper or a secret listener, I guess, this year to go on their site, like to go to the festival. They've given me a free pass so that I can attend and see how accessible the online platform is and how accessible, you know, the site is and all of that. Because they want the Fringe to be, will be in late June. They want it to be some combination of the two. So they want some of it to be in person, but they're pretty aware that this won't happen totally. I think we've all agreed on that, that there's going to be some hybrid model for a while now. So they're keen to make sure that this is as accessible as possible. So they asked me if I would do that for them. And I was planning to attend some anyway, so I was perfectly happy to do that for them. And so far, I haven't tested the platform, but so far the site seems really quite accessible, and so that's very good news
That's a nice thing to be able to say, right? Because as we were just talking about accessibility, you want to be able to give some of the positive feedback, and hey, guys, we are getting there. And let's be fair, there's a lot of things being done now. People are making the effort, and we're getting somewhere compared to 20 years ago.
Yes, we are. And people generally want to do it. I mean, it's not like they don't want to do it. It's just they don't know until you pointed out what the situation is. And so I'm really happy that they are asking me to do that and taking my feedback into, you know, consideration as they proceed to the Fringe.
Awesome.
And beyond that, I guess, on to next year.
Okay.
So that's awesome.
Update on e-scooters.
Well, one sentence, they've been approved. No matter what we did, they've gone through for a second year trial. We don't know what that will look like yet, but I guess in coming months, I'll tell you if there's things. We're going to try to organize some protesty type things to let everybody know that this is not a great idea. But and I know Toronto, they're really working on getting them not approved. So stay tuned for that. But my counselor voted against them, but she was the only one. So and hers is the ward. She lives in this ward where I am. And this is the ward where they were most impacted last summer. So I kind of felt a bit of a slap in the face to her. I mean, she saw them the most, right? And she voted no. And then all the other counselors voted yes. So that's a sad thing. But we will work at it.
Keep us posted. Kim, we don't want to miss out on this one. We only have a couple minutes left. Performing your first one-woman show called Flying in the Dark. Tell us about this.
Yes, I am. I'm performing it for Toronto Visionaries. They've been having a series of concerts. I know they had Lucas Hanneman in January and Michael Arnouac. They had him most recently. And they're doing mine, my Flying in the Dark show, which is my first one-woman show, which I created in 2011. The updated version is has some nods to COVID and other things. I've kind of updated the ending of it. But I put up on the blog, I'm just looking for the email address. So you need to send a message to the email address in order to get the Zoom link for that. It is on the 19th of March at 7 p.m. And, my braille is doing something weird here. I'll get it in a minute. But I just also want to tell you that we are streaming Raising Family Life with Tulia for Vocal Eye as well at the end of March. I'll have to stay up late because I don't have to perform it, but it's a streaming one. I think it might have been the show you went to, Kelly, because I think that was the one we recorded for archival purposes, but we're streaming that. So if people are interested in that, they need to go to Vocal Eye and register. And Amy Amanti and I will have a chat beforehand about this. So,
have it up on the blog.
We
it's up on the blog.
We'll
it's
do
Toronto
that.
Visionaries that you, you go and get the Zoom password for that. info@ccbtorontovisionaries.ca is the email for that.
Awesome, Kim. Boy, sounds busy. Congratulations again, and good luck on the show. Definitely, it's funny. Amy Amanti's joining us in a few minutes here on the roundtable. So, you know our small little AMI world. Thanks a lot.
We do. Well, thank you, guys, and stay safe and healthy, and see you next month.
You betcha. Kim Kilpatrick, our community reporter in Ottawa, joins us. As she said, she'll be back next month with another report on the program. Go up to our blog, ami.ca/KellyCo, for all the information from our report. We'll take a break, and Andrea Voss from CNIAB Smart Life is here in just a moment.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.